Hello and welcome to Behind the Headlines. I hope you're keeping warm wherever you are today. If you are new here, this is your daily roundup of some of the stories our reporters have been covering right across the UK today. And coming up today, we have the Prime Minister on talking about breakfast clubs.
They come in, they get something to eat. Some of them might not otherwise have had something to eat.
It is also, as I said, very cold today for most of us, with snow causing problems for drivers in North Yorkshire.
We're helping with the farm buggy, pulling wagons out to try and free the road. There were about four of us, all farmers, helping out.
And Prince William's been to open the Rob Burrow Centre for MND in Leeds.
It just shows the cheeky nature of Rob, you know, to ask the future king, by the way, can you come and open my centre when, you know, it really hadn't even started.
But first we start with something that's been a major story in our bulletins today, and the COVID-19 inquiries found the government's response to the pandemic was too little, too late. The latest findings have been published, looking at the political decisions made by all four administrations of the UK. And our reporter Claire Bode has been right across it today.
Although this report says lockdowns undoubtedly saved lives, it also says that they could have been avoided altogether with early decisive action. It also says the devolved nations relied on the decision-making of Westminster instead of making their own choices. Inquiry Chair Baroness Hallett says many choices made by the UK government at the time left the public confused.
The UK government relied on existing public health legislation rather than the Civil Contingencies Act 2004. While this enabled rapid action, it came at a cost. It led to fragmented decision-making, reduced parliamentary scrutiny, and it caused public confusion.
She was also scathing in her criticism of then Prime Minister Boris Johnson, saying he often encouraged a toxic and chaotic culture, and that the voices often of women were ignored in favour of the loudest voices in the room.
Next, and if you're one of those people who's struggled ever to get gig tickets online, this one's for you. New rules making it illegal to resell tickets for live events for profit are being criticised by fraud experts. It's after the government announced the plans earlier this week. With more on this one, here's our reporter Tom Priest.
Yeah, the government says its plans will end the industrial-scale touting that's caused financial misery for millions. But online security experts are warning the move could push illegal ticket sales onto social media. They highlight data from Ireland and Australia, which show fraud rates there are nearly four times higher than the UK. That's because fans often turn to informal social platforms where scammers operate freely and consumers lack protection. Tony Neitz from the organisation Get Safe Online.
One in 10 people last year were conned, and I hate the word conned because it's actually a fraud, were defrauded and never got the tickets and lost their money. So I think this is an opportunity for ticket touts to really play their game.
Culture Secretary Lisa Nandy says the plans will shut down the touts racket.
Next, and in bulletins today, we brought you the news of hundreds more breakfast clubs for kids around the country. Well, the Prime Minister's been to a Reading school as the news was announced. Our regional correspondent Jonathan Richards has been with the Prime Minister to see how the South East will benefit from the scheme.
The Prime Minister joined children at their breakfast club and spoke to staff. His verdict?
It's really important.
He says every child deserves a good start to the day.
Children here at St Anne's in Reading, this has been a pilot school, they come in, they get something to eat. Some of them might not otherwise have had something to eat.
And he pushed back on claims the clubs weren't financially viable.
There is now additional funding for schools, and we've been talking to the staff here actually, who've made a real success of this.
271 schools across the South East are eligible to apply from today.
Now, maybe you've had snow wherever you are today. We had it on the school run this morning, much to the excitement of my five-year-old and her classmates. And it's been a treacherous day in the North York Moors with up to 25 centimetres of snow falling in some areas. Some roads have become unpassable in the freezing cold conditions. Our chief reporter, Cathy Green, has spent the day in Pickering and can tell us more.
Well, Pickering has looked a lot like a Christmas card today, but the pavements here have felt in places like an ice rink. Once again, North Yorkshire's rural communities have been pulling together to keep people safe through the cold snap. Jack Hallam is a farmer near Egton. He's been helping out people who've been stranded around the area.
On the top of Skelda, we were helping with the farm buggy, pulling wagons out to try and free the road. There were about four of us, all farmers, helping out, and there was a couple of the general public to get people in the cars pushed.
It also continues to be bitterly cold. I've been at a community cafe at the Hungate Centre, which is also operating as a warm space. Vince Castleton is one of the organisers.
The nice thing is there's no pressure. You can come and you can sit and just watch the world go by.
We're being encouraged to look out for vulnerable neighbours as this cold snap continues.
Next, and the government's announced 13 sites will start making new weapons and munitions after a committee of MPs warned the UK lacks a plan to defend itself from a military attack. Two new drone factories have been opened in Devon and Wiltshire. Our chief reporter Andrew Kay sent this from the site in Plymouth.
Well, this building has no signage on it at all to help to keep it secret. But once you come inside to the warehouse here, up on the wall is a huge Union Jack and the words "Protecting Our Democracies" in giant letters. This factory is at the cutting edge of what's being dubbed AI-enabled warfare. It specialises in autonomous underwater drones, and they can be embedded with UK warships.
Our AI learns. Every time it goes into the water, it learns, and therefore it develops itself.
Well, that's Matthew Osler, who oversees this facility.
It's leveraging artificial intelligence and data to effectively do things like submarine hunting, ISR, which is intelligence, surveillance and reconnaissance work.
And just to underline how important this facility could be to UK defence, I'm told eventually AI underwater machines could stretch from the top of the UK to Iceland and the water. They would then create what's effectively a tripwire, alerting us to any enemy states trying to cut underwater cables, for example. And in fact, the city here has been designated as a place where the UK's underwater autonomous vehicles will be developed. Kevin Jones is from the University of Plymouth. He says the technology will have other uses as well, including for environmental research.
Vastly cheaper to be able to do research based on information gathering, long-term longitudinal studies. We can't afford to do them today. We'll be able to afford to do them in the future. If you look at the current Navy, most Navy vessels are big and expensive, whereas drones are much cheaper.
Now, as you say, today's announcement will also see 13 new weapons factories being developed right across the UK. Here's the Plymouth MP and also the Armed Forces Minister, Luke Pollard.
We're committed to deliver at least six of those new factories in this Parliament, creating the explosives, the energetics needed to restock our armed forces stockpiles and creating good jobs in the process.
The announcement is expected to create more than 1,000 jobs.
And a really lovely story to end on now. And Prince William's kept his promise he made to open the Rob Burrow Centre for MND in Leeds. The former Leeds Rhinos legend had asked the Prince to do the honours before he died last year. Our senior reporter Katie Lyons has more from Leeds.
It really was a lovely moment when he arrived. Prince William was greeted by Lindsay Burrow, Rob's widow. They gave each other a hug and it was then followed by Dr. Agam Jung and Kevin Sinfield, of course, Rob Burrow's former fundraising teammate. He then went for a tour of the world-class facility and presented a plaque for the centre. Jeff, Rob's dad, says he's happy the Prince honoured his word.
It just shows the cheeky nature of Rob, you know, to ask the future king, by the way, can you come and open my centre when, you know, it really hadn't even started. Well, it hadn't started then. We hadn't put a spade in the ground and he said yes.
Prince William also told Rob and Lindsay's three young children that they should be proud of their mum and dad. And he then gifted the centre with a new coffee machine. Here's Paul Watkins, the director of fundraising.
Perhaps the donation of the day, a coffee machine to the centre, which, you know, the patients and the staff will absolutely love. And it's about the building, you know, it's about that homely touch, actually. So it was a really meaningful gift for us to accept.
You can see more videos from the Prince's visit over on our social media platforms.
And you can find out more on these and other stories on the news pages of our radio station websites. We're across social media too. And don't forget to come back here tomorrow. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts or listen on the Rayo app. A new episode of Behind the Headlines is uploaded every weekday evening.